Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So start my new job this week.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like too specific about locations and stuff like that, you know, because we have personal lives and we don't want to you know, be spilling the beans on everything. But I'll just say that it heavily relies on the rollout of the vaccine, and the vaccine was pulled on Tuesday, so I'm in a group, fucking lovely group, couldn't have asked for a nicer group, love my team, my environment. But the first message that I sent into the WhatsApp was a picture of Ralph from The Simpsons that says,
I'm in danger.
Hello, and you are very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. My name is Jen.
And my name's Carla.
And this week we are recording during the day, so there's a lot of dog barking. Sorry if you hear like
hear
scramblers.
That.
Can you not? Okay, yeah. Well, that's good.
You're the one with the sensitive ears.
Hopefully when I edit this, all of that nasty background noise goes. Just we're fucked if there's a scrambler out there, because I live beside a field and it's just Christmas presents are still being used, you know. But this week we are talking about sudden and shocking celebrity deaths.
Yeah. So this came on the back of Nikki Graham's death, obviously, because not a lot of people. I actually read an article, I think it was around 6 months ago now, where, and it had come up on my Twitter, and I was like, Jesus, I didn't know that she had been in hospital, and I didn't know that she was hospitalised, kind of thing. And this, I want to say it was around 6 months ago. It could have been less time. It could have been like 4 months ago or 3 months ago or something. But they were basically saying like this was her last chance of recovery. Her body was pretty much going to give out on her quick. So it wasn't the biggest shock to me when I saw it. I was really sad because I remember when I read it, I was like, oh my God. And I remember telling Tom, and he was like, Jesus, I didn't realise that she was in hospital. I didn't realise that her eating disorder had gotten that bad. And I was like, yeah. And then obviously the news was announced this week.
So I had seen a few videos of Pete Bennett, who was her love interest in Big Brother when she was on it. And he was sharing the GoFundMe because the NHS, they had basically reached the end of their tether with the NHS. I didn't realise, when I was looking up about Nikki Graham, she has been in institutions since she was 12. To try and grab a hold of her, it's anorexia nervosa is the disease that she had. And I did see, and it's very important to say, a lot of people were saying anorexia is not a diet gotten out of hand. It is a disease, like it's a severe mental health issue, as well as a physical one. But I'd seen videos of Pete Bennett promoting the GoFundMe page to try and help with her rehabilitation, that this was like very serious. And I hadn't seen Pete Bennett in years. Like, I was like, oh Jesus, there he is. Like, and I was like, oh wow. So she's obviously gone into a rehabilitation centre. That's really sad. A lot of the appearances that Nikki, because she went into Big Brother, all different types of spin-offs in different countries over the years that I actually didn't realise, I didn't know about. So she's been really active like all these years, and I do remember watching Big Brother 7, and she was this tiny little thing, and there was never really anything mentioned about it in the series about her anorexia. But I did always I always kind of looked at her, I was going, ah, Jesus, she's a tiny little thing with this long hair. Do you know what I mean? She's always like, she's just such a little petite little thing, but like with such a loud voice. She was such a character. She was TV gold. And I was like, oh, she's gone into rehab. That's very sad. And to me, because I hadn't heard of her so much in the media, I didn't realise how serious it was. And then I think it was, oh, don't quote me on this, it could have been Tuesday night. And it was on Facebook. My friends, because a few of my friends have suffered with anorexia, they were sharing their own stories and their own journeys along the way. Now, they've all recovered since, thankfully. But they were putting up RIP Nikki Graham. And I nearly hit the floor because I didn't realise how serious it was. I just hadn't looked into it. She hadn't been on my radar, so I didn't realise how, and it shocked the life out of me. I was so sad.
If I didn't catch that article, I would have been the same as you. I would have been like, oh my God. But I remember reading the article, and the article was like, she's on like her last legs now. Like, this is kind of, it was like, it's, you know, when there's, I mean, you know, I had a family member who was hospitalised a few times, and, you know, you're told a couple of times that it's like, this is it, this is it, this is it. But I remember reading the article and being like, this is probably it for her.
Yeah.
You know?
It's really sad. She's
I was obviously still 38 years old, and I was obviously still very shocked, but I read the statement by one of the producers who had worked with her in Big Brother. And he was saying about, like, you know, when they were doing the auditions for Big Brother, that everybody was talking about her. Like, they hadn't met this Nikki yet, but everybody, all the other contestants that were auditioning, had been talking about this little firecracker who was, like, you know, really loud, and she was really, like, out there, and that's how she was as a person. It wasn't an act. That's kind of what it was. They said they took her in to do her audition, and it's a really strenuous process to get the right housemates, because obviously they're looking for a combination of personalities. They don't want too many loud
people.
They're
matchmaking.
You know. Yeah, exactly. They want to make sure that they have a really good cast and a really good house. And he said they did their interview or whatever, and he was like, she was the only person that I wrote down immediately, housemate.
Really?
And that was it. He was like, and that was just what Nikki was. He was like, that was the kind of person that she was. But it's really sad to have had to, like, look at her over the years and look at how much she struggled.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember, and I don't remember much because I have such a bad memory, but I remember watching Big Brother 7, and it was probably one of the last series that I really watched, like, all of it, you know, like, because I kind of lost interest, like lots of people, you know, the way shows like that with X Factor, you kind of just fall out of watching them. But I remember Nikki's, and she's the only one from that, and Pete as well, obviously, because he was very, well, it's not even that, I remember his, you know, the way they show the VTs before they go into the house, like, that's how they introduce them, and then they walk on the big bridge, and I just remember Nikki, because she was so tiny and petite, and I just remember the quote where she just went, I love my Essex boys. And it, like, the whole crowd were like cheering her on because she seemed really kind of fiery. And then I remembered Pete, and this is probably very offensive to say, but because he had the Tourette's, like, he was like, he was very, like, eye-catching, and you would remember that he was so different. And even his look, like, he was quite
grungy.
Like, he's such an individual. Yeah, he was really grungy and really interesting looking as a person in general. So I remember two of those. Yeah, oh, I was mad about Pete. It was just like, oh, Jesus. Yeah, I don't know why. Oh. I love the guy liner. Such sad news that came out. And when I was looking up all of the bits about her, I couldn't believe. So her parents separated when she was 12, and then she had started, she was doing like 6 weeks, first 2 weeks, then 6 weeks, then 6 months, like all of these stints in and out of these institutions where they were trying to rehabilitate her mindset and to try to stop her from starving herself. Essentially, she became obsessed with being this skinny little thing. And she was, like, most of the time, it got to a point where if she would have died, she would have been minutes from death had they not had sedated her and put tubes up her nose or put tubes into her stomach to get some food into her. At one stage when she was a teenager, I think she was 18, she was 2 stone.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine?
Jesus. And the thing is, the heart just gets so weak over time, like you know, if you, like, your organs one by one. And that's, I think it's a horrible death.
Yeah.
You know, not that any death is a nice death, but in particular, it's a, you know, your organs fail one by one.
Yeah.
And you go, I think cardiac arrest is essentially what kind of will happen. But like, it's just, it's terrifying. I saw as well that like she, you know, eating disorders are they're so complex, and you know, they're not just, when I was younger, I thought there was bulimia and there was anorexia and that was that. And that was the end of that. But there's also...
I think that's what most people think. I think people, when they see somebody who is essentially, for lack of a better term, skin and bone, they think that they're just obsessed with being a size zero and they want to be as skinny as possible. But it gets to a point where they do just look like skeletons with skin wrapped around them. Like, it's just... It's so sad to see that somebody would want to be that small, do you know? And I think it's just like, because I've seen documentaries in the past where, do you know, where it was really trendy at some time in the 90s to be a size zero. It all came out of LA and everybody wanted to be a size zero. And it, like, Victoria Beckham was a big kind of figure in that world, I suppose. And it was just, everybody was obsessed with being a size zero. And I can't remember, I don't know whether it was it Dawn? No, I'm not even going to say a name because I don't know who it was. I thought it was Chris O'Dowd's wife, but maybe it wasn't. She was doing a documentary where she was trying to get, she was like a size 8 or a 10. She was like relatively like skinny herself, but she was trying to get to a size zero, and the things that she was doing to try and get there, she only did it over a 2-week process, but she was like eating cabbage soup and she was taking laxatives and stuff like that at night, and she was in an absolute bundle, like she was in bits. And by the time she had like lost, I think it was about 0.5 stone or something like that, she said, I actually can't stand up. I'm so weak, I can't stand up. Like, it's very taxing on the body.
Yeah, it does. It's harbouring. And I think that was what was so sad about Nikki, and about, you know, some of the stuff that it came out, that she was an over exerciser as well. And when the gyms closed, that was when she had gotten really bad again, because what she would control her eating, like, by paying it off in the gym, which is, again, you know, it's all mental illness and it's all disordered eating, you know, but there is these different kind of things. You know, as I said, when I was younger, I just used to think it was the two and that was it, but there's so much more to distorted eating, and so many people have had distorted eating patterns without actually even realizing it. But it's just so sad to see it really to take another life, and to take a life of somebody who was so celebrated and
yeah, loved. Exactly.
Not that that changes anything.
So I suppose just the end of her, I was looking some things up about her last night, the kind of end of like her death story, essentially. It was in March 2021, Graham's family announced that she had relapsed again. They stated that she constantly feels weak and is struggling on a day-to-day basis. She explained that she doesn't want to recover. She does want to recover, but it feels impossible. They began a GoFundMe fundraiser to pay for a private treatment, since the NHS treatments failed. That they had exhausted every avenue possible. Later that month, Graham entered a private facility in Devon to receive specialist treatment, where she remained until one day before her death on the 9th of April 2021 due to complications from anorexia nervosa at the age of 38. So, obviously, like, it was a shock to a lot of people. Davina McCall, Arisa Cox, Paddy McGuinness, Rylan Clark-Neil, Aisling Horgan-Wallace, Pete Bennett, Katie Price, Imogen Thomas, they, you know, all of the tributes were pouring. I think she died on the same day as Prince Philip.
She did, actually. I think now that you say it, yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did. But that, like, that just shocked me the most. I was just, that was very heavy. So, we kind of were looking into other celebrity deaths then that really shocked us all. And we kind of, this sounds so fucking desensitised to it, but I suppose, like, it does get you thinking, like, it's mad when stuff like this does happen, and it's so shocking. And you kind of nearly remember the time and the place where you heard of a specific celebrity dying. Like, I remember where I was sitting when I heard Michael Jackson died.
Yeah,
do you know?
Same.
And, like, I was sitting on the side of Adam's bed and I had seen it come up on like social media back then. It was just kind of Facebook that you were on, and it came up, and I turned around to Adam and I was like, oh my god, Michael Jackson is dead. And he's not really a reactive person, and he wouldn't give a shit about pop culture or anything like that. And he was like, you are joking me. Like, there's no way Michael Jackson is dead, you know. Like, that was so shocking. But I think we'd be here for 3 episodes if we were to talk about Michael Jackson's death. So the first one that I kind of thought about was Paul Walker.
Yes. So tell us about Paul. So that was shocking. That was shocking.
That was very shocking. He died in a car accident. He was the passenger in a car. He died, he was age 40, and he was coming from a charity gig. And he was the passenger in the car of, who was the driver? What was his name? Rodas? I think it was Rodas. So it was November 30, 2013, which is like 8 years ago. I can't believe that. I know. It feels like 3 years ago. I know. It was about 3:30 in the day, so it wasn't like 3:30 in the morning, basically, you know. Roger Rodas, that's what his name, he was 38. They left an event. It was a charity reach out worldwide for victims of the Typhoon Haiyan. With Rodas, he was driving, it was a 2005 Porsche Carrera in a 45 miles per hour speed zone on Hercules Street near Kelly Johnson Parkway. And the car crashed into a concrete lamppost and two trees subsequently went on fire. And the two of them, they died of multiple, well, they kind of died in different ways. Rodas died of multiple trauma, while Walker died from a combined effect of trauma and burns. Both of their bodies were beyond recognition.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was.
I thought they died on impact.
No, it was fairly, the car went on fire. Like, I would imagine when they crashed, they couldn't, they were essentially
they're gone.
Immobile. They couldn't, passed out, and they couldn't move. But when the car went on fire, they were also in the car. So the curve where Walker and Rodas died is a popular spot for drifting cars, but no alcohol or other drugs were found inside either man's system. So, they were at this event, but they weren't drinking, they weren't taking drugs. It was the middle of the day, it was, dry weather. There was no speeding, essentially. It was just a freak accident that it was, because it was a one car collision as well. Now you don't know, I presume there's CCTV, there might have been something oncoming that made him swerve or whatever. It doesn't say it anywhere that something actually caused it other than it just went into a lamppost. Neither mechanical failure or road conditions appear to play a role. Police found no evidence of drag racing, and the investigation concluded that the car's speed between 80 miles an hour and 93 miles an hour. Now, it was a 45 mile per hour speed limit. So he was obviously speeding. I just don't know what caused him to go into the lamppost, but he wasn't racing or anything like that. And the age of the tyres were primary reasons for the crash. Now, later on, a wrongful death claim against Rodas' estate was filed by Walker's dad and his daughter, because it was there was a lot of cars owned by Walker and Rodas together. They were obviously big car buddies. They had a collection together. So, and then his daughter filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Porsche, claiming that the Carrera GT had numerous design defects, including a history of instability, and that the seatbelt placement could cause harm upon impact. So there was kind of legal repercussions at the end of all of this. I'm not sure. Yeah. Well, the judge ruled in favour of Porsche on separate lawsuits. So I don't think there was. Porsche gave them out of court settlements. So basically gave them money but didn't accept responsibility. So that was the death of Paul Walker. But that was. And it was in the middle of them filming Fast and the Furious 7. So,
and that's when they did the CGI on his brother, wasn't it?
His brother was a stand-in, and they did kind of CGI. Now, it was fairly close to the end of filming, and that's when this song by Charlie Puth and Wiz Khalifa, they put that in the end. It was very emotional.
I remember I teared up, and I only watched it because of it was his last movie and whatever else like that. Like, I wouldn't be into Fast and Furious, at all. And
I loved the franchise. I was mad about Paul Walker.
Yeah, I tell you where. But
I kind of cringed because he was in it. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a racial thing. I was just like, he's so white compared to everybody else, you know. And he was always this kind of I don't know. He just tried to act cool around a lot of people that were so much cooler than him. I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
it
kind of made me cringe. It's the worst.
He was very
franchise.
Good looking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I loved it.
He was so beautiful. He was stunning. He was so hot. Yeah.
Very sad. But they did ask the family permission to finish the film, and his brother very emotionally stood in for him, and they did all sorts of CGI. And that ending scene where Paul drives off one road and Vin Diesel drives, it's like a fork in the road, and the two of them go their separate ways.
And you just hear Charlie Puth in the background. Whoa!
it was actually so sad, but it was a lovely tribute to him. It was, you know, that they finished the film and all that, but you kind of are for the whole film watching it going,
he's dead. I know, that's what I mean. He's dead. It's like your mum, your mum.
Yeah, he died.
He's dead. Yeah. He died.
I know.
It's like your one, Kirsty, Fairy Tale New York.
Oh yeah. I don't know her name, but I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, everyone's going to kill me for that. I'm very sorry. It's after slipping my head, and she died in a jet ski accident, and every single Christmas you can't
do. Yeah, get away from it.
Yeah.
Who was one of your most shocking ones?
So, I'm going to be talking about Anton Yelen. And not a lot of people will know about this, but the reason why I picked it is because it was such a mad freak accident what happened to him. And he's also part of the 27 Club. So the 27 Club is, it's a bit morbid to kind of be talking about it. But essentially what the 27 Club is, people started noticing after the death of Janis Joplin, I think it was, that a lot of these famous people were dying at 27.
Okay.
So Amy Winehouse died at 27, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, some other people that aren't on the list because a lot of the people that talk about the 27 Club are American. Peaches Geldof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of noticed that it was like a myth, but it was it kind of became this thing. It was these rock star celebrities are all dying at the age of 27. You know?
Yeah.
So
there is kind of those bits in the celeb world. Like Jer was telling me before, he was like, now Jen, if you ever get to a point where you actually get on a film set and you get an Oscar for Best Actress, say goodbye to Adam. Because once an actress wins Best Actress, they always divorce the fella.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. There's these little things, but people kind of noticed. People back in the day kind of noticed it, and then it is coincidental that they're all kind of. People are all in a similar, well, not God bless Anton, but they're all kind of there was a lot of drug users, there was a couple of suicides, stuff like that. It all seems to be that age seems to be when I'm pretty sure Otis Redding was only 27 as well. Or maybe I'm wrong. He was young, but that was obviously plain.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Anton Yelen was Yelkin. Yelen. I keep calling him Yelen. Yelkin. Anton Yelkin. So you probably. Not a lot of people will know of him, but he was famously in Star Trek, in the movie. Do you remember they remade it with, what's his face, Chris Pine?
Okay.
Yeah. So he was in those, and one of them was actually released after his death. But it was, God bless him, I'm just, I've got so many tabs open here of all my different celebrities. What happened to him was, a freak accident. He was at home. He was again. Mm-hmm. He was only 27. He was at home, and he was found pinned between his Jeep and a pillar at his house.
What?
So what happened was he got out of his car. He He went to check the gate and the vehicle rolled back and knocked him down and killed him.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that fucking mad?
Jesus.
So he goes, parks his car, and obviously there was, you know, you think your car is parked, whatever. So he goes back to check the gate. The car rolls back and it was a really steep incline, so it picked up a massive amount of speed and it pinned him against a pillar at home, between him and the car. And nobody knew, because obviously you didn't think that.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that. Everyone thought that he was fine. So he didn't arrive at rehearsal, and that's when they went and found, his friends found him. Mad.
And that he would have been, like, on the road, like, from the road, you would have seen that.
Yeah, pretty
much.
Unless
if it was, like, a wooden gate.
Well, like, I doubt you would have been looking for it, but, like, you could have seen it, I'm sure, do you know? So yeah, they identified.
Well, it depends on the gate.
Yeah, they identified. It was a Jeep, you know, the Cherokee Jeeps, Jeeps. Yeah, they're big, big. Like one of those rolls on you, you're fucked.
I mean, any size car, a Cinquecento would still do that to you. Like, it's
true, but that's a big tank. Like, that's a bigger car. But yeah, the cause of death was blunt traumatic asphyxia. And there was no suspicion. They didn't think that there was anything suspicious that had kind of happened.
So did he die on impact, or was he like left there for a while before he couldn't breathe anymore, or his organs were crushed?
So let me just blunt traumatic asphyxia is a medical emergency caused by intense compression. To the throat.
Oh, so it was a long one.
So eventually you go brain dead and then you die.
Okay.
Yeah. Horrific. But it was such a freak. I remember it was Twitter that, and I remember being like, what the fuck happened there? Because it was like shock so suddenly. His family again went for wrongful death against the Jeep Cherokee. So,
well, you would imagine if you put your Jeep, and I just presume anybody in America barely drives stick. So if you put the car in park, you would imagine it would stay there. So I don't blame them.
Yeah. So this was a bit weird, because Fiat Chrysler are the ones who own the Jeeps, and they were aware that there was a high rate of rollaway incidents due to gear shift design in the actual cars.
Right.
But so following his death, then they accelerated the recall campaign. But his parents wanted to plan a wrongful death lawsuit against Fiat Chrysler. But the dealership that he bought the Jeep from said that he had done modifications. So he had misused and modified the vehicle. So he was responsible for his own death.
And was that proven? Like,
so it was a bit of a weird one. They went back and forth, and then they settled. They settled directly. So the dealership, like, removed themselves from the case. They were like, we have nothing to do with it. He did what, you know, they were kind of blaming him because he effectively modified the vehicle. His family were like, no, there was a defect in the vehicle. So then what they did was the family and Chrysler actually settled it outside of court.
So they didn't take responsibility, but they still paid for
They still paid for something. And then it was only June last year that they actually recalled more of those Jeeps for the same problems.
Oh, but I mean, do you are taking blame? Like, that's so annoying, isn't it? That's just, fuck's sake.
He was in a lot. Like, I mean, he was in a lot of TV. He wasn't in, like, he wasn't, you know, an A-list, I suppose, celeb. But a lot of people knew him. Because he was in a lot, and he'd been working since he was quite young. He was active since the year 2000, which was, like, I mean, if he died at 27 in 2016, he was quite young when he actually started, you know? Like, he was 11, I think, when he did his first thing. And he was originally from Russia.
Yeah, I saw there, and I looked him up because I couldn't put a face to the name yet. I do recognise him.
Yeah.
But very sad, but goes to show that Fiat Chrysler were definitely responsible if they start recalling it. Like,
it's just such a freak, you know, when you hear them absolute freak accidents. That was clearly, like, you don't think that you're going to get killed in your own driveway by your own car with no one in it.
Absolutely not.
Like, bizarre kind of stuff. So yeah, that was one that was very shocking, and it was one that always kind of stuck with me, because I was like, God, when it's up, it's up. Like, when you're gone, you're gone.
Jeez, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to a break and we're going to come back and talk about a few more, and then we're going to go to our question box to see whose celebrity death stuck with you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so my next one that shocked the life out of me was Brittany Murphy.
Yes, I think we talked about this maybe briefly in a Patreon episode before, but like, to the core.
She was just on top of her game when she passed. It was so weird. And then the consequences around her death, like the kind of conspiracies after it, so weird. And it all seems to come down to the Ma, which is... So...
I thought it was the fella, but now he's dead, I know. But I thought it was the fella but it's the Ma now, oh God.
Yeah, well, she just keeps kind of changing her story. So, Brittany Murphy, she... Like, obviously she's had a lot of, like... movies and stuff like that. Her breakthrough role was as Ty in Clueless.
Yeah.
With the little red curly hair.
Yeah.
That was her breakthrough role. Mm-hmm. She was quite young when her whole family upped and left and went to LA to support her to start an acting career. Which I was like, fair fucking play to her. I could barely get my mom to come to a fest when I was younger.
It didn't matter if I wanted to be a celeb. My parents would have been like, fuck off.
Yeah, like, fuck off. Like, wouldn't even buy me an Irish dancing dress because she knew I'd, like, give it up soon enough. So, they all moved out there. It took a while, but she eventually got auditions and stuff like that. And she did kind of have the face where she was like, I don't know, there was something about her. Because she had her little blonde hair and her brown eyes and her sallow skin, kind of like she's really interesting looking.
So beautiful, yeah.
Exactly. Now, she did have kind of a lot of rom coms. I remember watching Just Married with her and Ashton Kutcher I watched that about 12 times. I fucking loved that film. I don't know why. I was always in the mood for it.
She was in, what I loved about her is she was in two of my favourite films. A dark comedy, Drop Dead Gorgeous, which is a brilliant film. If nobody has seen it, it's got a stellar cast. Kirsten Dunst, Brittany Murphy. It's got Amy Adams in it when she was just starting off. It's got it's got like a Denise Richards when she was at her when she was like the sexy girl of Hollywood. And then she was also in Girl Interrupted, in such a different role in Girl Interrupted.
Such a different role. And she was in quite a lot of horrors as well. So she was very diverse. Like, her talent, like, had kind of no end. But she was found at home dead. So she was only 32. At 8 a.m. on December 20th, 2009, the Los Angeles Fire Department responded to a medical request. The Los Angeles home of Murphy and Monjack that they shared, that was her and her partner. But her, her partner, and her mom shared the house. They all lived together.
Okay.
So she had apparently collapsed in the bathroom, and firefighters attempted to resuscitate Murphy on the scene. She was transported to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, where she died at 10:04. So that was like 2 hours later, after going into like having a heart attack. Shortly after her death, they said on the news report that it appeared to be natural. An autopsy was performed the day after she died, and her death certificate listed the cause of death as deferred. And then 2 months later, on February 4th, the coroner stated that the primary cause of death was pneumonia.
Pneumonia, yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah. So with secondary factors of iron deficiency, anemia, and multiple drug intoxication. It's like, do you know what I mean? It kept changing.
Nothing to know, pneumonia and drug intoxication.
All this other
bad shit. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So then later that month, the coroner released a report stating that Murphy had been taking a range of over-the-counter prescription medications, and it was most likely the reason, like, she was trying to treat a cold or a respiratory infection.
Okay.
So this is where it came in. Like, it was all kind of, so it was like hydrocodone, which is like, codeine is very hard to get your hands on in America, but they treat it as like really, like, it's what's in Solpadeen. Like, over here it's not, it, like, it's addictive, but it's not like too kind of sinister. They use different names in America. Acetaminophen, L-methamphetamine, and chloramphenamine. So, like, they were all kind of, from my knowledge, and it could be completely wrong here, but they're like drowsy antihistamines and stuff like that. So all the drugs were legal and the death was ruled to be an accident, but the report observed the possible adverse physiological effects of elevated levels of these medications cannot be discounted, especially in a weakened state. So basically, she had pneumonia, didn't know she was taking all of this, and she took too much of it. And obviously, she has pneumonia, so, and she's not being treated in a hospital setting, so that's what they were blaming it on. But then her fella, on May 23rd, this was like 5 months later, her widower, Simon Monjack, was found dead in the same Hollywood Hills residence. So in July, the assistant chief coroner stated that the cause of his death was acute pneumonia with severe anemia. The exact same thing.
Reading that and being like, no, hold on.
I know, yeah, very weird. So they considered that it was a toxic mould in the house as a possible cause of their death, and it was the mould that was after causing this. But it was dismissed by the coroner, who stated that there were no indicators that that mould was a factor. And then Murphy's mother, who was living with them at the time, she described the reports as the mould contributing to the death as absurd. Like, she was like, there's absolutely no way that that's what it was. And she went on to state that inspecting the home for mould was never requested by the health department. And then December the next year, Sharon changed her stance, announcing that toxic mould was indeed what killed her daughter and her son-in-law, and filed a lawsuit against the attorneys who represented her in an earlier suit against builders of the home where the daughter and the son-in-law died.
What?
So she was like, no, it wasn't mould. Then she was, a year later, yes, it was mould. I'm going to sue someone and I'm going to get money for it. Brittany's dad then, a year later, applied to the Superior Court of California requesting that the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office be required to hand over samples of his daughter's hair for independent testing. He wants to know what, like, he obviously thought, there's a lot of dodgy shit going on here. I want to know what really fucking kills her, like.
Yeah.
But the suit was dismissed that year, and he failed, because he failed to attend two separate hearings. Which was a shame, because he wanted to go about doing this and he didn't show up at court. And then the last thing that was kind of said about it was another year later, Angelo Bertoli, this is Brittany's dad, claimed that a toxicology report showed the deliberate poisoning of heavy metals, including antimony and barium, which was a possible cause of death in Brittany Murphy's death. Sharon Murphy described the claim as a smear. So the dad is trying to blame the man. There is, is it CBS or HBO? There is, because I was looking for, I knew that there was some sort of documentary being talked about, because it was such a weird, there were so weird circumstances, and like, obviously you're hearing all these conspiracy theories and stuff like that, so they wanted to kind of set the record straight. But when I looked for the documentary, it's still only being made. That was March 2021, so it's being made, and okay, it will be soon.
Good.
So we'll all just have to keep our eyes out for that. But it is very strange, and I loved her as an actor. Like, she was even her voice. She sang Faster, Kill Faster.
Pussycat by Apollo Oakenfold. Yeah. What a bop!
Yeah, and she was the voice of the female penguin in Happy Feet, and she was brilliant. And I loved her. Mm. And it's a shame.
It is a shame. I remember I was in New York at the time when that broke. And I remember being in a hotel room. Me and my sister were sharing a room. And I remember looking at it and being like, what?
Yeah.
How? I remember just being like, she's too young.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah, fuck. Crazy, so, isn't it?
Mm,
absolutely.
Like, she was in 8 Mile and...
Yeah, she was in loads. She was in so many films.
So many different roles as well, like, which is great, like seeing her in different lights and stuff. Yeah,
toward the end of her life she wasn't in as much as she was in her early 20s. In her early 20s she was early and kind of mid 20s she was banging out the movies, but
yeah,
she kind of settled down. The husband to me always seemed a bit strange.
He was a lot older than her and just seemed like a bit of a strange relationship, but who the fuck are we to say, like, you know?
Yeah, and I remember thinking it was a bit of a Mary-Kate Olsen kind of job.
Yeah, it was a strange match, like, from an aesthetic point of view it was a strange match, but I mean, like, that, who are we to say? So
yeah, for sure, because I remember at the start people were saying that they thought that the husband had something to do with this, and then he ended up dying, but like staging it as a, like, there was all mad conspiracy theories, like, like, he staged it that way, but he was actually suicide kind of thing, do you know? To, like, die the same way as her. And I remember just being like, this is fucking mad. This is like Bobby Christina kind of fucking mad shit, you know?
Yeah, it was a very strange... There was... But, like, I cannot wait to see that documentary, because they do claim... It's an acclaimed director that's doing it. So I hope it's not going to be full of bullshit and full of, like, you know...
Yeah.
Full of conspiracy theories and stuff like that. I hope we do find out stuff that we didn't already know. And now I hope there isn't a big hullabaloo, because it's not nice, like, speaking ill and, like, just coming up with your own theories on somebody who's after dying. Like, you know, it's...
Yeah.
But you would love to know the truth, and you would love, like, a bit of justice, I suppose, if there was any wrongdoing there. Like,
I want the truth.
Give me the fucking truth.
I want the fucking truth.
Yeah.
God bless.
Who's your last one there, and we'll get into the box.
So my last one was, again, something that I remember very vividly happening, and something that was all very, at the time, I think it's more interesting to look at the culture of Ireland when it happened, and that was Katie French.
Yeah.
So Katie French passed away at the age of 24. It was a week after her 24th birthday. And the cause of death was given as hypoxic ischemic brain injury caused by cocaine. So
she drank it, this didn't she? Did she drink
it? She ingested it, apparently. She ingested it. So there's a lot of, like, I've been doing, I got, like, bleeding balls deep into this. Like, I was too. There's so much because, so Katie French was a model. And a socialite, but an Irish socialite. And back then, if people don't remember, it was like bikinis on Grafton Street.
Yeah.
It was that era.
It was like newspaper type of...
Yeah. It was...
It doesn't really happen anymore as such. Now you have your influencers, like...
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, yeah. And I think it's mad because there was such a... Early 2000s was really huge for, like, UK tabloid media, you know, Trashy Rags and all that other kind of stuff. And that became, you know, Nuts magazine was huge. FHM was huge. Like, there was a lot of kind of bashing reality celebrities and, you know, the Big Brother cast were huge on Heat magazine every week and all that other kind of stuff. And it kind of pattered over to Ireland. And I remember at the time being like, this doesn't suit us. And I was very young. And I remember even thinking then, being like, this doesn't really suit us. It doesn't suit our, like, landscape and our lifestyle kind of thing. But there was, you know, there was a group of them. There was, like, Katie French. There was Glenda Gilson, Georgia Salpa, all of them. All of the girls. And they were kind of known for doing, you know, the Sunday Independent Life magazine. And they do bits and bobs for, you know, charities and all that other kind of stuff. You know, her career. So she started off working for Assets, as we all know, Assets Modelling Agency. That was a big one. Still going. She was in all the newspapers. She did kind of brand gigs for Sony Ericsson, Suzuki, all that other kind of stuff. But she actually became quite famous because of her fiancé, which was Marcus Sweeney, who was like an Irish restaurateur, just a rich young fella, essentially.
Yeah.
In Ireland. But their relationship was really public. And they actually had a really public breakup. And that was kind of... It's really messed up to see the stuff that he had said about her and the stuff that he did to her. He was an abuser, 100%. Some of the texts and some of that other kind of things that he was to her. But it was, they kind of became one of those couples that, you know, the Irish press were mad about trying to get interviews from and, you know, all. But they, in another way, she gave a lot of interviews to.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of, God bless her, but like...
Mm. She was so young as well.
She was so young, and it was that kind of fast life, like, you know, they'd be snapped at Crystal and then those, you know, that would be kind of used and all that other kind of stuff. But her and Marcus Sweeney ended up having a very public breakup where she was shooting for Life magazine in one of his restaurants and she was in lingerie and he walked in and fucking lifted the gaff, like.
Wow.
So... They had a massive falling out. If you Google them, they just look like quintessential that kind of time. Do you know what I mean? And then afterwards, like if you Google his name, it's like Marcus finds new love and all this other kind of crack. But they had a very obvious and a very huge breakup that was kind of played out through the Irish tabloid media, which was kind of really fucked up. But her death was a bit of a strange one. There was court only really settled in 2013 about her death, and her death was in 2007.
Right.
So she died in a hospital. She died in Our Lady's Hospital in Navan because she collapsed in a house in Kilmessan.
Right.
So apparently she had gone, it was the result of a drug overdose, but it was also, there was kind of ingestion. It was all this, like, it was very strange. I don't know what was the thing that actually kind of killed, well, it was the cocaine, but there was a lot of other kind of factors because she was quite young, you know. So she was in the house in Kilmessan. She had called her dealer, the guy that she had known and that had dealt her drugs for quite a while. And they all ended up having an after session, like a party there. So they ended up going there. She met up with your man. The two of them actually they've been sentenced and everything. I'll talk a little bit about that now. It was Kieran Ducey, D-U-C-I-E, and Anne Corcoran were the two people that were criminally charged. So they were at this house. She ends up at the house. They end up having an after party. She ends up going to bed. She had gone to bed. This is what they're saying. They said that she went to bed. They found her and she was having a seizure. And then that's when they brought her to hospital.
Right.
So everyone thought that everything was fine. And then the next day is when they kind of found her. They heard a bang. They said that they heard a bang. They went to bed at 6 a.m. They heard a bang at 8 a.m. They went down. She was lying on the floor, face down, bouncing up and down. Apparently he brought her straight up and took her to hospital. But it's kind of saying that what the court found was, with the phone records and everything else like that, that they actually didn't bring her on time.
Right.
So he made a 999 call at 10 o'clock.
Whoa.
So she had been having this seizure and clearly not well for that amount of time.
Fuck.
Yeah. So that's where it kind of gets a bit dicey and a bit tricky. She was unresponsive when she arrived at the hospital. The medical team had asked if she had taken drugs. Your man said that they'd been drinking, but he'd not seen her take drugs. But he also added that she'd gone to the toilet several times during the night.
So he didn't want to be caught for taking drugs himself.
And I'm guessing that's why they probably panicked and didn't want to call the hospital either. Do you know, when they first kind of found her, I'd say they were like, oh, fuck. So he said, obviously, he's now a father of two. He regrets and very remorseful of what happened on the night and whatever else like that. But that's what they're saying. So, like, I don't know if she could have been saved, but she definitely would have had a better chance.
It could have been better,
She would have had a better chance. So the two, Anne and Kieran, have both been sentenced. Your man Kieran got 2.5 years, which was suspended, and a bond of €200 to keep the peace and be of good behaviour.
A bond of €200?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. And then Anne Corcoran, she was given a bond of €200 and to keep the peace for two years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So your man, these were the drug dealers that got criminally charged.
So this is where it kind of gets a bit, you can only go off, like, she's dead, God bless her, like, so you can only go off what everybody else is saying and who the dealer was or whatever else like that. As far as I'm aware, the reason why the two of them have been charged, they've been charged with she's been charged with wrongful, what do you call it when you don't get somebody to hospital on time, kind of thing, you know?
Oh yeah, okay.
Like obstruction of,
yeah,
you know what I mean, that kind of thing. And he's been charged with supplying the kind of drugs as well.
Oh, so they were the ones in the house with her, not they just like showing up at the door with a bag. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing.
Fuck.
So it was really like, it's really sad. She was a week after her 24th birthday and she had big birthday in Crystal nightclub, you know, the usual kind of stuff. She was on Ryan Tuberty a week before, kind of talking about, you know, it's such a weird one, because this is where I'm like, oh, this would never happen nowadays. So obviously Ireland has kind of, we've moved on from this like bikinis on Grafton Street kind of thing. We've got social media now, everything kind of happens on Instagram. But she was asked a good few times over her career, does she do coke?
Okay.
Which I think is just a fucking bizarre thing to ask a celeb.
Yeah.
Imagine, hey Jen, how are you getting on? Do you do coke, by the way?
I mean, who's going to say yeah, even if you do?
Like, you're not going up to Louise Cooney and being like, love your dress. Do you do coke?
Yeah.
Like, Rosie Connolly. Rosie, you look amazing. Do you do coke? Like, so bizarre. So fucking bizarre. That's what I find really weird. And she'd been asked a few times and she denied doing cocaine ever before in her life. And then she was asked again in a different tabloid and she had said she had, but she had stopped.
Okay.
So it's so weird. Like, she did this interview with Hot Press and it was quite controversial because she said she would consider having an abortion if she became pregnant during the peak of her career, which was really controversial because obviously, you know, abortion was very illegal at that time.
Nobody was talking about it.
No one was talking about it. And then she also said she loved fur, even though she was a massive animal lover.
Okay.
And yeah, it was all this kind of, and they asked her about her, this is what I find really weird, they asked her about like her religious beliefs because she was a member of Church of England. But also practiced Catholicism. But, and then she's like, there's this other thing, and it's like she spoke highly of Islam and her Muslim friends, saying when you read the Quran you realise that Islam is a beautiful religion. Just weird stuff to put into her Wikipedia. But what I found more like devastating and kind of interesting, well, not interesting but quite devastating, was she was in this relationship with your man, your man Marcus Sweeney.
Yeah.
His statement afterwards, these are a few extracts from the statement given afterwards after her death.
Okay.
Katie was on coke throughout the week. She was a 2 day on, 1 day off user. Katie had no limit when it came to coke. She never wanted to stop, always wanted more. What really ended our relationship was coming into the restaurant one night after finding her on a table doing lingerie shoots with photographers around, after having promised me she wouldn't do this anymore. She broke my heart. I was in love with her, but she was intermingling with other men and I had just had enough. Katie was hard work. After our breakup, we did have a couple of nights back together. I still loved her and would have got back with her permanently. Katie was then seeing Jimmy Mansfield and she was playing me off Jimmy. 2 weeks before her birthday party, I told her we were finished for good. During the time we were broken up, Katie would harass any girl that I would be with. It's my opinion that Katie snorted coke on the night that she died to the point of suicide. She would have needed so much to crash out. She would snort the coke, get a panic attack, lose her sense of reason, go on and take more coke to the point where she went unconscious.
Right.
So, like, if you... First of all, again, I just find she's dead. Do you know what I mean? She's passed away. She was 24. Yeah, I know.
It's like, oh, my ex was a psycho.
Yeah.
And she's not there to defend herself, that kind of thing.
And like, she's actually dead, man. Like, she's actually dead.
You would speak highly of the dead, regardless of any sort of situation. He's just passing blame, like.
But it just seems kind of like she died because she was a cokehead. When that just wasn't like...
No.
It's just not very fair. Obviously, something went dodgy there, something went wrong. And I remember that was one of the, like, when I was younger, I was like, oh my God, this is exactly why you should never ever take drugs. That was kind of like one of those things. But I feel like she, I feel like it's really sad, because if you die of something like that, and drugs are part of the reason why you die, people almost discount your death. It's like, well, you deserved it because you were doing coke. But plenty of people do a bit of coke.
Of people do a bit of coke, and nobody takes it to intentionally die that night. Like,
no.
I don't know why, when I was that age, like when she passed away, the rumour around the school was like, or wherever I was, it was like, oh, she put coke into a cocktail glass and she drank the cocktail. That's what it was.
See, there's a thing here of ingestion, but I was like, is it ingestion because it was on her gums? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, there's not enough for me to
Now, I have a bit of a story, right? So around that time, not maybe even earlier, there was two blokes in my school, and bless them, they passed away. But it was a group of lads, and one of them, well, the group had dared one of the blokes to take a teaspoonful of coke.
Like, eat it?
Yeah. Oh. And he did it, and I don't actually know where he is. I think they might have pulled the plug on him, but he was essentially brain dead in a hospital in ICU on a life support machine for years. Now, about a year later, because, I don't want to name anyone here, but anyone around Hartstown would remember this. The chap that dared him to do it did it himself and killed himself because he felt so guilty about it.
Mm.
So I think ingesting cocaine was a thing around that time.
Like, it's weird because there isn't enough detail that I could kind of find saying that she actually ingested it, but there is something in it being like there was a bit of kind of it was ingested, but then I'm like, are they saying it was ingested because it was snorted, you know, in that kind of way? Now, I know with coke you can't actually, you're absolutely not supposed to eat a spoonful of it, do you know what I mean? And that's something that I think most people are aware of. But what I thought was just really fucked up about it is, like, she'd had this really intense relationship really young. They're engaged, they got engaged in Mauritius. The tabloids were like, it was a 50 grand ring. Oh, that's what they're kind of shite. Yeah. And I'm like, Irish tabloids, you are the worst. But
not the English ones are.
Yeah, but you know, in that kind of way, I'm like, I was like, why are you trying to be something that you're not? You know, in that kind of way. It's like, we tried to make these celebrities out of people because then it was like, great, we'll sell more, you know, newspapers, and we're going to do this kind of tabloid thing because that's what everybody wants and all that other kind of crack. And it was very sad. Like, if you look into Marcus Sweeney and you look into some of the texts that he had sent her, they're very fucked up.
Well, then his statement after she died about her dying because she was a cokehead is just self-explanatory, really. He's a gaslighting bastard.
Yeah. And I just think, like, she had kind of came out, she had talked about it a few times, being like, you know, it wasn't, I thought that we were going to be in love forever kind of thing. You know, we were really young or whatever, and it just kind of went sour really quickly. And, you know, she kind of was like, yeah, you know, I was doing a photo shoot in his fucking restaurant, and then he just decided that he didn't want me to be in lingerie or around anybody else. And he just seemed like a controlling freak, to be honest. But, like, some of the texts, and it's like, I'll read out a few excerpts of some of the texts that kind of went on. Like, he called her a cunt. You're a fucking sick tramp. Fuck off to England and do everybody a favour, you cunt.
Jesus.
Like, really intense. Like, really, really intense. And he really embarrassed her as well, because when he flipped the lid, like, he did it in front of everyone, do you know? And he was like, I had this filth with you before. Like, imagine shouting that.
Yeah.
There was another one, like, Michael said you looked lovely in your suspenders, you fucking sick tramp. Your bags will be fucked over your gate before the night's out. You don't park in the Westbury anymore. Laptop valuables, I'll meet you with the rings and I'll be on to the papers to tell them as it happened, cunt. Jesus. And then, cunt, I'll drop more of your shit over tomorrow. Smiling now, I never loved you. Feel sorry for a girl you know nobody loved and nobody ever will. Really fucked up. P.S. If you're pregnant, send it to purgatory. You sick cunt.
Okay, right. I don't want to even talk about him anymore.
And then I'm ringing the papers.
He's like, yeah, no, fuck yeah, off.
So
like,
that was why I kind of feel like it's just, it's not fair what happened to her.
No, it's definitely not. And the stuff that was said about her afterwards from people who knew her.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah. Okay, we got quite a lot of response in the box, so we might fly through a couple of minutes of these, just like, because some of these, I like the names that are coming up, I'm just like, oh my god, yeah, they do kind of, when you hear these things in the news especially, and I don't mean to discredit anybody who's older or kind of like, you know, have had a good life, but when it's somebody younger, you do kind of get affected a bit more by it. So Chadwick Boseman, very recent. Because 40. Nobody knew that he had mm-hmm. cancer. He just kept quiet, kept doing his little, like, fucking, his Marvel movies. Like, nobody had a clue. And all of a sudden, he was gone.
Yeah.
He was like,
and from such an illness, too. Quite sick.
Yeah. Like,
that was crazy.
Crazy. Naya Rivera. Also, I cried when this happened. Like, it just the saddest thing ever, going missing on a river with her little boy in the boat.
Yeah,
so
that's sad. Really sad. Really, really sad.
It was just so tragic. Like, so tragic. Mm-hmm. Amy Winehouse, this girl said that she was in London at the time and she went to see all the tributes outside her house.
Yeah. I mean, God bless Amy.
Yeah.
Again, somebody who I feel like was kind of rallied through the papers after she had died, do you know?
Because she was a drug user, yeah. And it did kind of discredit. Yeah, I know.
Not discredit their death, obviously, but.
Yeah, but it was like, well, I mean, we all knew she injected heroin into her toes, so it was that kind of.
That kind of thing.
Attitude around it.
Ali D said, Michael Jackson, he's years of weird shit left to shock us with, though.
True. And again, it's like, I mean, something as serious as child, like paedophilia does need to be called out, but it is kind of like, Jesus, it's still going on, Michael Jackson.
It was rough.
Heath Ledger. People 27. Still aren't over that. Yeah, 27. Another overdose, I think.
Overdose, yeah. That was, yeah. We talked about that on the Patreon episode. Mm. Recently, like maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. Peaches Geldof, I was very upset when she died. It was such tragic circumstances.
Yeah, again, there's a few of those. I think it was Janis Joplin as well. That was, I think she might have died of a heroin overdose as well. But I often wonder, with Peaches, she wasn't on heroin, decided to score a lot of it, and then like it was like it was a suicide, you know what I mean? And she kind of done it in the same way that her mum had passed away. Ugh. Same with, what's your man with that long name, really celebrated actor, Hoffman.
Oh.
What's his face, your man Hoffman, Philip Seymour Hoffman, is that his name?
Yes,
same with him. At home, load of heroin, locked himself up, off they go.
Jesus.
Really fucked up. And I often wonder, like, same with Janis Joplin. I think it was Janis Joplin anyway. And she was in the Beverly Hills Hotel, went, got heroin, shot up, went, bought a pack of fags, came back up and actually ended up, like, seizing up and hitting her head. And that's, she kind of died of a bit of both kind of thing. But I wonder what goes through people's heads, you know?
Yeah. Robin Williams, that was another shocking one.
That was tragic.
That was so sad.
Yeah.
That was very, very tragic. Sad. Dolores O'Riordan, I was shocked.
How did she die again?
Dolores O'Riordan, that was a bit of a weird. It was kind of, I don't want to miss. I don't want to get this wrong. No, I feel like it was suicidal. She travelled from New York City, to where she lived, to London. Yeah, she was about to record an album.
Yeah, she was in London, wasn't she? Yeah, I remember being in London actually when she, shockingly enough, died.
She arrived in London at 2 p.m. on the 15th of January 2018. She had a phone call with her mother. Later that morning, she was found unresponsive in the bathroom and was pronounced dead. 9:15. Cause of death was not immediately made public until an inquest held on the 6th of September, which ruled she died as a result of accidental drowning in a bath following sedation. Yeah, so it was alcohol intoxication. She got in a bath and she fell asleep in the bath.
So
I was thinking, I was like, I don't think it's suicide, but I think it was self-inflicted. So empty bottles were found in the room. So there was 5 miniature bottles of champagne as well as some prescription drugs. And toxicology tests showed that her body contained therapeutic amounts of these medications, but 330 milligrams of alcohol per 100 ml of blood. So she would have been over the limit. I just remember because she was only recently on the Voice of Ireland. And I just remember looking at her going, she's so fucking cool.
Yeah,
I just love her.
Yeah,
like, and cool. Cranberry's music, unbelievable. Like, it's just such a big loss.
Yeah.
You know. Dolores O'Riordan, Caroline Flack, obviously, can't go without mentioning that. God bless her. Freddie Mercury. Sorry.
It's not, like, it wasn't a shock, but back then HIV was such a big killer that, like, it is a shock, obviously, because you're like, I can't believe that this has happened. But, like, it's not, when someone is sick, it's not as much of a shock as, like, somebody who dies from an overdose or, you know, anything along those lines.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was still, I think it's when it's somebody so high profile and it's just like, you realise they're still only human. Yeah. I think that's kind of what it's all about, really. Mm. Heath Ledger, all of the same ones are coming up. Peaches Geldof, Chadwick Boseman, Whitney Houston, obviously.
Yeah.
Stephen Gately,
yeah, that's mad. So he died of a heart condition, undiagnosed.
Yeah.
Mad.
Like, mad. George Michael.
Yeah, that one, that shakes people to the core to this day, I think.
Very, very shocking. All of the Glee people.
Yeah, so this is, like, again, we spoke about this in detail in one of the Patreons, but Corey Monteith, that was absolutely mental. Naya Rivera, also mad. Mark, I can't remember his second name. Mark.
This was your man who was Salling all day. Child pornography.
Yeah, Mark Salling. Yeah. Obviously, that was suicide, and that didn't shock me. I, you know, when you have a feeling, you're like, that would probably happen. Do you know? Yeah. I have a message here saying, oh, look, technically not a huge celeb. Katie French's death shook me. I was very shocked simply because I'd watched her on Celebrity Survival Show when I first became introduced to her. Then she was on so many shows from then on, Podge and Raj, where she spoke about how the fiance dumped her when he caught her doing the lingerie shoot, etc. I just liked her. I was really saddened by her death. Even though I was young, it was just shocking. She was 25, she was 24. Nothing but old to me at the time. I was 16. I'm 30 next Friday, so it's not as if his age scares me now. I know drugs were the killer, but it was just the fact that it was somebody so young.
Yeah. Mm. David, give me two. Somebody said in the box here, your man that was in Big Brother that didn't die when it was David Bowie that died, but then he did die.
David Guest. Liza Minnelli's ex-husband.
That was a... He was like Michael Jackson's bestie or something, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well,
he claimed to be.
Look, I only found out last week that bloody Liza Minnelli was Judy Garland's daughter. Like, I only found that out last week. I was like, oh, right, very good. But yeah, that was pretty... pretty crazy.
Yeah. Jade Goody.
I just didn't think she was going to... You know when you saw... I just thought she was going to beat it. I don't know how. I don't know why. I just thought she was going
to
beat it.
I always think that when it comes to cancer, I just always think, do you know what? Strong lady. She is going to... She's going to beat this. It's going to be absolutely fine. Yeah.
It's not how diseases work, Carla.
I thought that about Jada as well. You know, the girl on Instagram, I just, for some reason, and I knew how serious it was, but I still always just thought she was going to beat it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just, I think we should probably move on because these are just a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Let's go to our unpopular opinion of the week. We'll be right back. My unpopular opinion, right? And mm-hmm. I was reminded of this by Davina Devine.
Okay.
Best drag queen of all time, right? I think toast that's only toasted on one side is much better than toast that's toasted on two sides.
Okay, explain that.
Social welfare toast used to be... Well, I'm sure still most cookers have it, but my ma has a gas cooker. She's always had one, right? And there's a grill on it. And you put the bread onto the little tray, you put it into the grill, and it only toasts your bread on one side. So your other side is still, quote-unquote, raw. Still bread. And then you butter it, you fold it in half, and you think you're eating bread, but you're actually eating toast. And it is so much fucking nicer than toaster toast, which that's, like, I feel is too hard. I still eat it.
Yeah, it can be too hard. It can be too hard. You're right.
Yeah, I still eat it. Like, toaster toast, it's much more convenient. But grill toast, like, one-sided toast, is so much nicer. If you haven't tried it, especially, and butter it straight away when it comes out of the grill, like, where it melts in. So mm-hmm. it's really, really soft.
Yeah.
It is fucking delicious. But most people are going to be like, no, Jen, toaster toast all the way. It needs to be toasted on both sides. But it also toasters piss me off because the bread, especially Brendan's bread, I know there's little bread you can get, little squares, and they fit into the toaster perfectly and they're toasted all the way around.
Toasties.
But like white bread, like say a loaf of Brendan's, you put it in and it pops up and the top of it never is toasted. You have to put it in upside down and go again and then just risk burning it. Toasters and shit like that pisses me off and it's too unreliable. I love a bit of bread going into the grill, coming out one-sided. That's my jam.
Okay.
Would you agree or give it a go and let me know next week?
I will. I'll give it a go and I will update you all on this next week.
Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go to Carla's. This is a new segment, by the way, introducing it. You ready? You ready for this? Yeah. This is called Carla's Bop of the Week. So Carla's going to tell us about a song that she has been bopping to all week. And we are going to set up a Spotify playlist of all of Carla's Bops of the Week. And that's going to be a thing now. So you enjoy. Here comes Carla's Bop of the Week.
Carla's Stomper of the Week. So guys, for Bop of the Week this week, it is an oldie but a goodie. And it's Hard to Beat by Hardfi.
Hard to Beat by Hardfi.
I
kind of like this segment because I can't listen to it right now. So I'm going to listen to it after we finish recording. And I'm going to be like, oh.
Well, Jen, let me just wiggle your taste buds because you'll remember this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Absolute bop, totally forgot about it. Came up on some old kind of early 2000s playlist and I used to, like, that song was one of the songs that was on my iPod in fourth year, you know, in transition year when you used to do art classes. You were like, what a bop. 10 out of 10, Stone Cold banger.
Right. Okay, well, we'll put that onto the playlist and there you go. That's your bop of the week. Congratulations on your first little segment.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. We will be talking to you next week. We hope you have a lovely week. Thanks again for the support. And don't forget, we have a Patreon. So hit us up over there if you want to. You haven't got enough of us. It's €6 a month for 5 extra episodes. One of those episodes, you'll be getting a special guest. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.